This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's happening? Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of Fantasy Points. .com. The program, as always, is produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and the program is sponsored by Better. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app right now. Sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit necessary. Massive program forthcoming. We'll break down Monday Night Football. What an exciting adventure it was for the Minnesota Vikings. Not very exciting for our wagering, however. It was not a very good week one. We'll go quickly over that. We'll gloss over it real quick. It wasn't great. But we do have plenty of thoughts on Monday Night Football, of course. Then it's Tuesday. We go right back into our weekly routine during the season like we did last week or last year. We do our look at the buy low, sell high marketplace, players to trade for, the drill. Buy low, sell high. Now, full disclosure, I'm trying not to be Mr. Captain Obvious. Like, obviously, Brian Thomas Jr., Nico Collins. Sure, buy low. They had horrific week one games. Those dudes aren't on the list. They're a little obvious. You might not get much in return because the person who drafted them, like maybe 9 days ago, did so for a reason around number one. We'll talk week two data points of note, as we always do, our early look with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, and then the waiver wire. It is upon us, and pretty good sign that a lot of the dudes that I'm going to pop out were actually on my list of player targets. You'd much rather use a 14th round pick on a guy like, let's say, Josh Palmer than have to fight over other people on the waiver wire, quite frankly. So I think after week one, it was a very good week overall, excluding Nico Collins and Brian Thomas Jr. and maybe a couple of others. But I thought it was a very good week for like my season-long takes and all that good stuff, but not a good week for the propage. Let's take a look. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done last night, by the way. It was not good. J.J. McCarthy, we'll get into it. Hockenson, that was non-existent. Now, they did run the ball, as I thought they would, but it was not with Aaron Jones. I thought we'd get 51.5. I thought we'd get to 52. Jordan Mason did. Amazing performance by Jordan Mason, by the way. He runs for 68 yards on 15 carries, 4.5 yards a pop. So it was not great. We do get the DJ Moore one correct. Little consolation, quite frankly, when we have a bad day. Hockenson, that certainly wasn't going to happen. I was actually watching the Manning cast when Randy Moss was on there, and right before the touchdown to Jefferson, I think he called the shot to JJ, but then he was like, but that Hockenson's really good in the red zone, so watch out for him. And it does, in fact, go to Randy Moss. But there will be better days, I believe, for TJ Hockenson. There will be better days for my picks. I had a couple of week one blunders. For example, I got into my head that Tank Bigsby would go over 40, would get 44 yards. I think what happened was they didn't play him because they were planning on trading him. So, maybe I'm wrong there, but that was a fact. They did, in fact, trade Tank Bigsby. We'll get to some news and notes here at the top here, first segment. But let's break it down as the Minnesota Vikings emerge victorious in shocking fashion, 27-24. And, I try not to be much of a fanboy. And, I haven't been for decades, quite frankly, because I've been so frustrated with the Minnesota Vikings. But I have seen something truly special with J.J. McCarthy and what the Vikings have going on. So put all the chips in the table. I definitely tend to do this over the years. I, pump up someone, gets people really excited. All eyes look to me when he doesn't do very well. I don't know if I've ever seen a player have such a roller coaster in one game. I felt like J.J. McCarthy matured and played 2 years last night. The first two, three quarters were horrific. Absolute nightmare. But then we saw why I've been talking up J.J. McCarthy now for, you know, a year and a half. Three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. First player to do that in his first start in 40 years in Steve Young. And the first player ever to account for three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Double-digit lead. He kept his poise. We all, everyone's watched all the shows. You've seen the post-game clippings and all that. It was just phenomenal. But for three quarters, it looked really bad. The offensive line, and look, they got, first of all, they didn't have Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle, who's a stud. He was out. But they, you know, they do have two new pieces in there. But man, as the game progressed, that was the key to everything. Jordan Mason running the ball. They're going to be balanced, all that good stuff. And you saw what JJ could do. I said that, look, he's got a very underrated arm. He's got a lot of pop there, a lot of sizzle. The touchdown to Jefferson was a dot. I mean, that was a dime. I thought the throw to Aaron Jones for the second touchdown was tremendous because it was a little bit of a touch pass, and that's one of my questions because he does fire off almost nothing but fastballs. But it was a beautiful toss right on the money for the touchdown. So he's getting coached up by Kevin O'Connell, who's awesome, called a great game. It was slow going early on. I'm even yelling at Brian Flores because they were a little soft early on, but they were smart. They know more than I do. They sat back, played a lot of zone early on. Then they got aggressive and completely shut the offense down. But one little thing that, you know, factored into the game, of course, and absolutely factors into fantasy for JJ, was that rushing touchdown. It was a designed run. And it was awesomely blocked by everyone, including especially TJ Hawkinson. But, you know, we've got cheat code potential here. He only had two attempts, you know, but just think about how much better we're going to get. And you also, by the way, give credit to the Bears D. I mean, they played very, very well for at least two, three quarters under Dennis Allen. It was a tremendous game. But think about how much better things are going to get with Minnesota when they start getting comfortable, the confidence level. I mean, he's already won everybody over. Has McCarthy, he's got that special quality that they've been lacking for 50 years. So just imagine how much better they're going to get. And JJ's running will be a factor here. So I did have him as my number one quarterback target. And that's kind of a bold statement since he was like the 19th target off the board. I'm like, no, that's my number one guy. It's only one game. But he is a QB1 right now with, what, 23 fantasy points per game. He does throw a pick six, so you lost a couple of points there for the interception. But the cheat code, he looked very fast on that run. He's sneaky athletic. He's a lot more athletic than people think. So wrapping it all up, tremendous performance. I thought it was ironic that my Super Bowl prediction, my picks, the Bills and Vikings, they end week one with two epic, nationally televised, come from behind improbable wins. I thought that was pretty ironic. By the way, real quick for the Bears, much of the same from Caleb Williams overall, but he did show a pretty decent presence out there. He does run for 58. DJ Moore comes through. I did like Zacchaeus, should have played the prop. And how about the grinder, Tom Brawley? This is why I don't play these type of props. We said yesterday, oh, it's going to hit because I'm not playing it. It's going to hit. And Cole Kmet was dead in the water whole game, and then he makes a miraculous catch. Nailed it. See, that would not happen to me. That's something I complained and whined about last year, but it's absolutely true. I have the worst luck in fantasy. That's something I've said forever, but it is also what kind of made me better because I'm like, well, I guess I got to work twice as hard to get stuff right because my luck is terrible. So that's why I didn't play the Cole Kmet prop. But you will notice there will be many times where I say, oh, that's hitting. I'm not playing it, but it's hitting. If you go back, not that anyone will, I'm telling you it's like 12-2 in those situations. Well, we talked a lot about the Vikings, but very quickly, a couple of headlines that are very important that we'll talk about a little bit maybe when we talk waiver wire and players to trade and trade for. But the Niners are already dealing with some bad vibes here. I mean, this is truly scary. We're already worried about Brock Purdy with week one. Shoulder, toe, George Kittle out with the hamstring. My guy Ricky Pearsall looked great, but We need some continuity here. They do have Mac Jones, and I think that's pretty good backup, really good backup. Eagles acquired Tank Bigsby from the Jaguars, so guess what? He's now your handcuff to Saquon Barkley. As much as I love Will Shipley, he is now the guy to get. The Giants are going to start Russell Wilson. He looked like Russell Wilson of the last couple of years, which is not good. Oh, also for the Niners, looks like Juwan Jennings did avoid a serious shoulder injury. They need all hands on deck there at receiver. Yeah, I think we're good. We're all caught up on the really important news. Before we take that first time out, we'll talk buy low, sell high on the other side. If you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. And right now, they've got an NFL kickoff new user offer. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And when you do deposit, you can get $200 up to $200 in deposit bonuses. They also have NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, you name it. So no matter the season, there's always a time to have some fun and turn your sports knowledge into cash. Better is also giving $40 for every friend you refer to Better Picks. The Warriors are only doing this the first 2 weeks of the season. So head on over to better.app. That's BETR. Download the Better app from the App or Google Play Store. Use that promo code VEASAN for your free $10 in deposit bonus today. Players to trade and trade for, a little buy low, sell high coming at you on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VEASAN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, and we are up to the second segment on a Tuesday in season. And what does that mean? Well, it's time to go out there and knock on doors, do some cold calling, do some business in the trade market. And I have been doing an article over at fantasypoints.com for a long time now, probably about 15 years. It never ceases to amaze me that it's kind of the most popular thing I do during the season. I, you know, preview all the games and, you know, a million tidbits in my big Sunday column. But early in the week, people are fascinated by this. Obviously, it's a very way, good way to help your team out and all that. And, you know, the waiver wire has been very good, but not a ton of needle movers lately, last couple of years. So I think your best way to really change the focus of your team or the landscape of your roster, if you will, via trades. And, of course, always looking for opportunity. That's it. You know, I mentioned earlier, obviously, Brian Thomas Jr., Nico Collins. They would be obvious guys. I'm not even going to list them because they're so obvious. Also, they were both a little worrisome. So, you know, those situations with Trevor Lawrence not playing all that well and the Houston Texan O-line looking craptastic again, quite frankly. So that's one of the other reasons why it's too obvious, because they were so bad last week, but also I'm a little worried. So I'm not going to advise listing them as players to trade for, but I do have a pretty good list here of others who mostly came up small last week. We're looking to take advantage of that. You know, it's only one game, but people have short memories and they're very impatient. But let's take a look here. We'll do it quarterbacks through running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Didn't have a ton at quarterback, and this isn't like a brilliant, riveting inclusion, but because I'm also a little disappointed that we didn't get more design runs for Drake May, but I'll put him on the list. Tougher schedule in the fantasy playoffs, by the way. Not that we're worried about that right now, weeks 15 through 17, but never too early to take a look in Buffalo, Baltimore, and the New York Jets. I think he can be fine there, but we need to start running a little bit more, but I think overall it looks pretty solid. Like Miami this week, like he should do well. Then Carolina, New Orleans is pretty good. Atlanta, Cincinnati, these are some good spots on the schedule upcoming. And you know, again, some decent ones. Tennessee, Cleveland, Tampa, maybe not great, but not scary. Next up, Ashton Jeanty came out and he looked great on like his first carry. Then, you know, it was underwhelming. But you know what's not underwhelming? 21 of 24 opportunities in that damn backfield did Ashton Jeanty get. I cover the NFL for a living. I did have to be reminded that Zamir White is still in the NFL a couple of days ago. Quite frankly, he got three carries in the game, nothing else. No one else got anything else. So I look at this schedule and I'm like, this is not bad. Chargers, Commanders, Bears, Colts, Titans. A lot of those teams should afford him volume, or at least the Bears, Titans, and Colts. Chiefs, Jaguars, Broncos, Cowboys, Browns, Chargers, Broncos, Eagles, Texans, Giants, Chiefs. Not all easy, but I see a lot of games where he should get rushing volume. And again, 21 to 24 opportunities is pretty darn good. Moving on to next up, it's Amarian Hampton, another somewhat underwhelming debut, but we did have great success with Justin Herbert. So I think the offense is going to be fine. Herbert probably going to run a little bit more. That'll open things up. Amarian Hampton, good receiver out of the backfield. I like the schedule overall. Let's look at it here. Vegas, Denver, New York Giants, DC, Miami, Indy, Minnesota, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Vegas, Philly, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston. Not bad. You know, again, his value didn't plummet. I'm not saying he's going to soar after, like, starting now. Not a bad name to look at, though, as is Tony Pollard, who had 19 of 21 running back opportunities in that backfield. Don't forget, the O-line is good. It's got a lot of pedigree on that O-line, and we're just getting started here in week number one. I don't think these offensive lines, really, the Vikings O-line gelled by the fourth quarter last night, but I've noticed that a lot of these teams need 3-4 weeks to get the cohesion back and the gel up front. So that'll happen, I think, with Tennessee. And then Tony Pollard's going to get the rock here again, 19 to 21 running back opportunities. Now I know that my guy Tajay Spears is probably going to be back after three more games with the high ankle, but you know, they're going to be run heavy. Pretty good schedule here. Rams, Colts, Texans, Cardinals, Raiders, Patriots, Colts. Like right there, most of those teams are not powerhouses, and we should be getting some volume. Chargers, Texans, Seahawks, Jaguars, Browns, Niners, Chiefs, Saints. Pretty good volume there for the most part. Georgie Pickens is next up on my list. Did not expect much on Thursday night. I thought they'd put Quinyon Mitchell on him pretty much on an island, and they did. So George didn't do all that much, but I like this schedule here. Giants, Bears, Packers, Jets, Panthers, Commanders, Broncos, Cardinals, Raiders, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders. Not bad. I don't see many shutdown corners here. Got a little Sauce Gardner action there. No, not that worried about Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, we certainly have Sertan that 1 week for George. We'll forget about George that week, but otherwise it looks pretty good. Calvin Ridley, did not expect much from him last week against the aforementioned Sertan, but looking at the slate of corners and matchups, not bad. Rams, Colts, Texans, that one's tough. Cardinals, Raiders, Patriots, Colts, Chargers, Texans, Seahawks, Jaguars, Browns, Niners, Chiefs, Saints. A lot of teams to reel off here in week two, but I like that. I also like Devontae Smith. I'm not worried about A.J. Brown either. They're going to have to throw the ball just a little bit more, and especially with this schedule. Look at these matchups. Chiefs, Rams, Bucks. That's just the next 3 weeks. You also have the Vikings in here. You've got the Packers, Chargers. You know, they'll have to throw it a little bit. Looking good here is Devontae Smith. Buy low, for sure. Hockenson, TJ Hockenson, my favorite tight end target. Didn't work out last night, but we saw the quarterback play well. So it will come around, and the matchups look pretty good, especially in the next 2 weeks. Falcons, Bengals, I like that. Mark Andrews, I was in on Andrews this year. Also Hockenson, didn't go well week one. Still not that worried. Falcons. Actually, no, that's the wrong schedule there, but I'm not that worried about Mark Andrews as a general statement. Quickly, let's take a look at some players that I'm worried about and I would not be against moving. Christian McCaffrey, I hate to say it, I'm sorry, but the vibes are horrible. I know he got a million touches last week, didn't look that great, but the volume was great. But can we keep this up all season long? Looking at the schedule, it's not that bad. But I'd be worried. I'm very worried if I owned Christian McCaffrey. Of course, I don't. He's been off the grid for yours truly for 2 years. I was in on Devon Achane this summer, but I bailed, quite frankly, with the bad vibes and once he got hurt. So is Tua Tagovailoa going to make it out of the year? I don't see it. It's cataclysmic vibes right now. And Achane is, look, Tyrod Taylor's not bad, but Achane needs Tua for sure. So not against moving on from Achane already. Travis Etienne, look good. He is in the final year of his rookie deal, plenty of motivation. They traded away Bigsby. So he might stick here, but I would lean the other way and understand that it's a new regime. They brought in Tootin and LaQuinn Allen in the draft. Tyrone Tracy was just underwhelming. You got Cam Scadaboo there. He's probably going to get goal line work and take away from the passing attack. And then I got to throw Mike Evans in here because it didn't look great. The offense and Baker were fine, but a lot of scary matchups here. We got Stingley this week. You got Sauce Gardner. You got Quinyon Mitchell. So I would not be opposed to trading Big Mike. We'll talk week two data points. We're already moving on to week two with a guy, Stephen O'Rourke from Fantasy Points Data, on the other side. But first, the season may have started, but you can still jump into the VSiN Average Joe contest sponsored by Edge Boost. Each week, you make 7 picks, NFL or college. The best score of the week wins $500. And if you have an Edge Boost account already, then it's $1,000 every week. And if that's not enough, there are quarterly prizes as well, airfare to Vegas and a free 2-night stay at Circa Resort, and your chance to be on the VSiN show or a VSiN show. Feel free to check it out at VSiN.com/Joe. You can enter anytime. Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. We've got some actionable stats and data on the Rams offense and Breece Hall and more. Breece Hall looked darn good in week number one. Hang tight. It's Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
2 edition of Prop Points rolls on right now here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. FantasyPoints.com, we go to the progressive guest line as promised. Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. He's on the X machine at Call Me Steve O. Can't believe it's been 7 days since the last spot. I know I say that all the time, but it really does fly. How are you, Steve? I know week one wasn't great for you. Wasn't great for me either, but we'll get it back in week two. What's up?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, I'm licking my wounds. Lines look terrible. You know, almost all the things I gave out last week missed. It was just a rough week, but you know, I've been saying it all week that, you know, sometimes the best rounds start with a bogey. So we're hoping that week one is a little dip into a big climb the rest of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've had some massive weeks here, and you know, you feel like when you get into a hole, I'm like, I'm never going to win another play, but it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get through it together. How about that? But we need to go and start looking at week two to get back on track. So it's early in the week. It's almost as early as it can get, but you've got some actionable data points here. We'll start with the LA Rams. I thought Matthew Stafford, he was Matthew Stafford. I didn't watch all the game yet, but acquitted himself well. I was worried about Puka. This week, a little bit of a weird matchup against Tennessee. These teams don't play a lot, but what do you have data-wise that is encouraging for Matty Stafford?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I was super encouraged by the way Stafford looked just health-wise. I know that was an issue, and people were worried about leading the end of the season. He didn't look bad at all. He looked as limber as ever, so I'm confident there. Same with Puka, and Davante Adams looked really good. He created separation. I think he finished top five for separation this week, and they get a favorable matchup against Tennessee. Tennessee ran over 90% zone coverage, and Stafford lives to pick apart zone coverage, especially when he isn't under pressure. Tennessee only pressured Bo Nix on 28% of dropbacks in week one. Stafford performs well when he's not under pressure against zone coverage, with a 77% completion percentage and 8.1 yards per attempt in 2024 against zone when not pressured. And he kind of split the ball up a little bit against Houston. He obviously targeted Puka a lot, but against zone coverage, Puka had a 35% target share and Adams had a 30% target share. Puka obviously crushed. He had 7.2 yards per route run, and I don't see that going away anytime soon. But where I see the uptick is I think Adams is a good guy to go after this week. He had just a 50% catchable ball rate, but I think that's going to improve as Stafford laps. And I think that, you know, with his ability to continue to separate, that just opens up that passing offense so much more. So I really think that they're going to have a good week against Tennessee.
You know what you love? 9 targets to dudes not named Devontae or Puka. And those two dudes combined for 19. So Sean McVay continues to concentrate targets to outside wide receivers. So it's a beautiful thing. That's one of the reasons why I was in on Davante Adams, even though I'm a major ageist. He's also Canton bound at this juncture. Well, number two on your list is a guy I was in on the whole offseason. Wrote him up in the VSiN betting guide. I took the over on his rushing yards, but I bailed on Breece Hall. I just couldn't do it. But of course, all the things that I was seeing, they were evident in week one. He looked tremendous. So what do you have on Breece Hall here as they take on the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I mean, I was blown away by how the Jets offensive line performed against Pittsburgh. I know a lot of people had Pittsburgh projected to be a really, really good defense, especially against the run with Hayward, Watt, you know, all the staples they have in their defense. And Breece Hall ate him up. He had 5 missed tackles forced, and he averaged 5.6 yards per carry in zone concept runs. And I think that that's going to translate against the Bills' defense. They're obviously licking their wounds after week one, 9 yards a carry on zone runs. It was only a 44% success rate, but, you know, it was the big runs came, and I think that Breece Hall has that same ability as Derrick Henry to break off a big run here and there. And that's what Buffalo is susceptible to, because they also give up a decent amount of missed tackles. They were 12th. They gave up the 12th most missed tackles in 2024. They gave up 5 tackles in week one, which was like tied for second most in the NFL. So I am going to ride Breece Hall again in week two. I think he has a good week against the Buffalo Bills, because the Jets also seem to know who they are. They know that they can lean on Justin Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen to run the ball, and then utilize the play action and get Justin Fields comfortable. So I think that they'll have a chance to do that against a Buffalo Bills defense that didn't look all that great.
Talking with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve-O-7. Yeah, doesn't hurt that Justin Fields, we all know what Justin Fields is if we're interested observers in the NFL. So knowing that, what he's put out on tape for the last 3 years, I don't think you could have possibly conjured up images of him looking any better than he did in the game last week. You know, he seemed to have a calmness about him. He wasn't like just one reading it out there. And he's pretty gifted throw over the football. Well, let's move on to Harold Fannin Jr. I mean, I am still blown away. It's like Joe Flacco was throwing to a couch on Sunday. It was just, it looked easy. It looked like Fannin was a 7-year veteran. You know, I understand he caught a million balls in college and all that, but it's just weird that a tight end two was that big of a factor in this first pro game. But you seem to think it'll continue against the Ravens. I do remember last year, this time, they were a mess covering the middle of the field in tight ends.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like Harold Fannin sliding into what Njoku was for Flacco in 2023. I mean, if you remember back in the 6 games with Flacco, I think he had like 44 catches for I think over 400 yards and three touchdowns. So like a really good three game stretch. And I think Harold Fannin is actually going to be that guy for Joe Flacco as long as Joe Flacco is starting. He's a big target over the middle. He looked really athletic. He separated pretty well. And on the flip side, Njoku looked a little weathered. He didn't look as, you know, as great and as athletic as he has in years past. So I think Fannin kind of slides in there. He led the team in target share. He had a 20% target share. And we know Joe Flacco is a slot merchant. I mean, every year we get Flacco snaps. We're always feeding, you know, whether it was Downs in Indianapolis, Njoku back when he was with Cleveland. So it just, you know, that's where he likes to go. And he picks apart the middle. Baltimore can be susceptible over the middle because a lot of the games they play with their linebackers. They give up 10 yards per attempt to slot and inline targets in week one. And they give up 4 completions for 55 yards to inline targets. And Fannin ran 80% of his routes from slot or inline. So I think the Fannin train continues. I'm excited to watch him. I think he's going to be a contributor and could, you know, sneak in as a decent tight end play throughout the season.
And then last but not least, Chase Brown. I thought he looked awesome on the first drive. The touchdown run was tremendous. That didn't do really anything, but he did dominate the touches in the backfield. Good matchup this week against the Jags.
Yeah, I like this from a schematic standpoint. The Cincinnati Bengals ran the most man gap concept runs in week one. Chase Brown being the guy that did most, obviously, you know, carried most of the load. The Jaguars gave up an 85% success rate to man gap concept runs against Carolina in week one. They gave up 5.1 yards per carry. It was really the only spot that Carolina was successful against the run. And that translates from last year. The Jaguars gave up 4.8 yards per carry on man gap runs in 2024 and like a 53% success rate. So I think Cincinnati has shown that they like to try to establish the run. And I think that with a probably more favorable matchup secondary-wise for Joe Burrow, I think that ends up opening up the run game more for Chase Brown and rely on him.
Great stuff. Stephen O'Rourke at CallMeSteve07 on the Twitter machine. The fastest 8 minutes of your week, Steve, has passed, but we thank you for your efforts, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man.
Our guy, Stephen O'Rourke. There he is. You got it. And when we return, final segment, we'll talk waiver wire top 10 pickups. But first, if you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash and quickly. Here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and then you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, they've got an NFL kickoff new user offer. Sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit necessary. When you do deposit, you can get up to $200 in deposit bonuses. NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, you name it. No matter what the season, there's always a time to have some fun. Turn your sports knowledge into cash. And Better is also giving you a $40 bonus for every friend you get to try Better Picks. The word is we're only doing that the first 2 weeks of the season. So share that ASAP. Get over to better.app. That's BETR. Download the Better app from the Google Play Store or the App Store. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus today. Working the waiver wire next in the final segment of this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSIN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on Prop Points on VSiN, a Tuesday edition. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in to the program. We're going to do waiver wire talk in this segment, and we'll talk about these players' outlooks. We do have a best bet for Thursday Night Football. I'm already in, okay? I'm officially in. This puppy is winning. So hold up for that because it's forthcoming. But let's take a look at my top 10 waiver wire pickups right now. And we'll start with the guy who should be number one, I think, on everyone's list. And that's Dylan Sampson, the rookie running back of the Cleveland Browns. I actually, because it was such a quagmire all summer. I kind of like didn't take a stand on anyone. I actually ranked Dylan Sampson at 155 on my last cheat sheet. I think his ADP was like 170, but who knows what his ADP was? Cause you know, he kind of rose up late in the preseason, I guess. But I was like, let's just take a wait and see approach. And well, we did, we waited and we saw, and Dylan Sampson is still available in over 55% of Yahoo League. So he fits my criteria. And, you know, I think he'll basically handle at minimum, and it's only one game, but it was a very revealing game. I believe at minimum, Dylan Sampson is going to handle 40% of the backfield touches. Just put it that way, because I do believe that him and Quinshon Judkins pair very well. I mean, that's why they drafted these two dudes this year, I'm sure, to get, you know, that youth movement in their backfield and move on from Nick Chubb, all that. So, yeah, but very, and it's incredible. I mean, he only had 29 yards on 12 carries, but he caught all eight of his targets for 64 yards, 63% of the carries, by the way, and an 18% target share. It was very impressive. I mean, Bro Flacco's out there looking at the rookie as a safety valve, like right out of the gate. So that bodes well. Next up, Daniel Dimes. And yes, we are being a little sarcastic, a little disingenuous when we say Danny Dimes, but Daniel Jones can get it done for fantasy when healthy, and he is now. If you look at the scramble rates of Danny Dimes in the career, it's like 9% every year, but the year he was coming off the ACL last year. So I think we're looking good. It could not have looked any better than it looked. Shane Steichen, good coach, good history with these dual threat quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts. And we're looking strong, you know, good running game. As I said all summer, I said, I know he's Danny Dimes. Don't mock me for backing Danny Dimes. Because by the way, I did last year, but I kept saying it over and over again, like this isn't the perfect environment. You can't get any better. And granted, it's not always going to be that easy like it was last week against the hapless Dolphins. For example, they've got the Broncos this week, and Danny Dimes could fold like a cheap tent. But overall, their matchups look pretty good, and the environment and his skill set is fantasy-friendly. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he's already a top 15 guy. When you consider the rushing potential and production. Next up, let's go to Trey Benson. I'm never going to pick a James Conner prop again. James Conner, the human being, God love you. Have a great life. Live to 120. The fantasy asset, dead to me. So I do look over at Trey Benson because Conner, only one game again, but he is up there. He is a little sluggish. You never know. Trey Benson wasn't great either, but he did give them a lot of juice on that 52-yard touchdown, and there was no juice. We were juiceless with James Conner. Bone dry was he last week. So I think Benson could be a little bit more than a handcuff, basically. Maybe we start riding the hot hand, and maybe we're more inclined to go to Benson if James Conner doesn't get it done early on in the season. There was talk of him being kind of a 1B in the backfield, and he did play 33% of the snaps. Here's another guy that I was talking up all summer, but no one cared. I know he was a little bit banged up, but I kept saying, hey, Hollywood Brown, guys, because I thought he looked pretty good with Patty Mahomes last year via my eyeball test. Now, he did have the foot ankle issue that kind of got a little too close for comfort in terms of week one. So I actually pulled back from my rank. I still 60 spots over his ADP. I'm like, he could be a very good replacement for Rashee Rice that you may want to use in a pinch if you drafted Rice. Well, after week one with 16 targets and a 41% target share, I think we might already be on you have to start Hollywood Brown mode. We'll see, but available in 75% of Yahoo leagues, that's not bad at all to fill in a hole for your wide receiver core. Another guy I was high on and ranked him way over his ADP is Brenton Strange. He didn't go off or anything, but I liked it. He had a 79% target share, 12.9% target share or snap share. 79% snap share was good. the target share, 12.9, was okay, but he did catch all four of his targets. He led the team with 59 receiving yards, and Trevor Lawrence didn't look all that good. So I think he's going to be leaning on Brenton Strange for those easy layup completions and Strange good run after the catch. I will go Strange over Fannin, but Fannin is next on the list. He was the only thing I can say that I was in on with Fannin was I wasn't in on Njoku because of Fannin, but after looking like a 6-year pro and catching 7 of 9 balls thrown to him in the opener for 63 yards, I get, it's like Daniel Jones. I think he's already a top 15 guy. Jonnu Smith, as I thought, lost the damn prop, but he caught 5 balls, and he was, I think, the second option in the passing game. We will get explosive plays going with Jonnu, I think, as Artie Smith did with him in Atlanta. Next up, Jaden Higgins. He did lead the team in receiving, and he did while he also played behind Xavier Hutchinson and Justin Watson, but I saw something there in Higgins. I saw a sizable receiver who's got talent, and they need help. So I don't know what the heck happened to Nico Collins, but for the long term, I would pick up Jaden Higgins. He was available in about 65% of Yahoo leagues out there. Josh Palmer, another guy on my list. I'm not convinced that we're good to go. They're not going to throw it as many times. You know, his target share was okay, but Josh Allen's pass attempts could drop by 20 this week. But again, I do like him. I thought he looked good. He had that huge 32-yard catch. That was a massive one. And again, he's good. I've always liked him. He's good. He's not going to probably do it every single week, but in a deep league, you could use him. It is a good offense, and he's good at football. Then finally, Elik Iemanar. I was pronouncing his name wrong. I did watch him there. He was a Senior Bowl guy. You know, watch him at USC, and I did opine all summer. He was also on my target list because I thought that he was the best guy to play the big boundary X receiver spot opposite Calvin Ridley. He does have number one wide receiver qualities. He may not be a speed guy per se, but I think he can be a high volume guy. And I thought Cam Ward acquitted himself pretty well. He didn't overall put up huge numbers, but he did. He was solid at the end of the day. So there's my list. A couple of names real quick I'll throw out. Sed Tillman, 48 targets in his first 4 NFL starts last year. And I thought he looked pretty good this week. Second in targets. He's good. And I think overall he's a pretty good fit for Flacco, who is a strong-armed guy. I also just wanted to mention Kayshon Boutte, who I thought looked really good. I think he's got a shot. I think it's within his realms of possible outcomes to kind of be a thing and a little bit of a breakout. I also do always love Calvin Austin. I think he's the 2 in Pittsburgh. Juwan Johnson has tricked me in the past, but you know they do have Foster Moreau on IR as well as Taysom Hill. And then Michael Penix, I thought, looked pretty solid. I am going to pop out a best bet in a moment. Stay tuned to VSiN after prop points. Money moves at 2 p.m. Stormy Bonantoni with Jonathan Von Tobel. Today we'll be joined by VSiN managing editor Adam Burke with his sharp betting analysis, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray, Matt Humans at 7. The best bet brought to you by GBank, built with sports bettors in mind. Right now you can earn $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is opened with the GBank Visa signature card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every single deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. Well, we did not have a good week one. We had a terrible opener on Thursday, and then I said I'm going to get weird on Friday, and we went 4-1. So I'm going to get weird again and put down a rushing prop that I'm in on for Thursday Night Football. Jordan Love will run for 6 yards because it'll be an open, wide open, offensive-oriented game. The DC Commanders play a decent amount of man coverage, so Russell Wilson, by the way, got him for 44 yards last week. So 6 yards for Jordan Love. Throw us a bone. We'll catch you manana. Another edition of Prop Points.